Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 551. We just started the book Binyan Bayis, The Living Marriage by Rav Moshe Shechadowitz, written by Rav Mendel Weiss. And the idea about this book that's unique is that it is based purely on Torah sources, based on the words of Torah, based on the words of Chazal, given over by the Messiah he had from Gedolei Yisrael. And he has a very important part of this introduction. He met Gedolei Yisrael and experts, and he asked this question: why in this generation is there such a great need for instruction in this area, even more so than it was in previous generations? And from their words, in addition to what we spoke about in the last year, that there was a lack of proper shimush chachamim, of chachamim in practical living advice, giving over this hanhaga pertaining to intimate marriage and other things, there are other reasons why our generation has difficulty in relating properly to marital intimacy. And going through these problems, we will learn how to combat it better. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explained that even in the past there were problems in this area. It's not like it all of a sudden popped up in our generation now. However, there was never so many problems, because in the past people would learn from their life experience, which would lead them to success. They would adjust. Whatever, they would have bumps in the road, and then they would adjust. What we have here is what he describes here is stuck fly syndrome. What does stuck fly syndrome mean? You see a fly trying to pass through the window pane, and the fly will just bang into the window, try to pass again and again until it dies. It's not aware that it's the window blocking the path. And if the fly had a little understanding, it would have said to itself, wait a minute, I tried once, I tried again, I tried 10 times, 20 times, it's not working. Maybe I should try another place. And then he would have flown to look for an open window, and he would fly out to freedom. Our generation is like that fly. We don't put into our minds that possibility that, hey, you know, maybe we make a mistake. Maybe the lack of success is because we are on the wrong track about something. What we do is we assume that if we're not successful, it's because we didn't put in enough effort into it, and we keep on going on again and again and again, 100 times, 1,000 times, instead of just recognizing maybe I'm taking the wrong approach. Maybe there's something I need to learn. Maybe there's something that I need to open in my experience and recognize that I need to look for a different avenue, a different opening. And in marital intimacy, very often it's like that too. Another reason is that we have a desire for rest that goes overboard, that comes with a great degree of laziness. People are not interested in changing. And when people aren't interested in changing, because you're just complacent about their life, that not only stops people from practicing new things that they have heard that may help them, but it affects what they are trying to learn as well. So when there's a new concept that they learn, hey, you know, maybe I should try something this way or behave this way that's better, they teach it, they interpret it in a way where I'm not mechuyev to change. It's not me. And success in this world, for Olam Hazeh and for Olam Haba, is requiring work as well as the ability to change, especially in marriage. To go beyond what you lived, your perspective that was in your childhood and in your teenage years, and to recognize as a healthy new perspective, that takes work and the ability, the wanting to change, even though it takes a lot of effort. Another reason why our generation has challenges in these areas is because the basic building blocks of the relationships are completely misunderstood, and results in devastating results in marriage. People don't understand what possible connection could be between intelligence and love, and they conclude that they don't have a healthy feeling of emotions. They feel that emotions and love and all these things are people that are not so smart or are not intellectually gifted. If someone feels they're on a high level, they feel that this love is beneath them. You know, he wrote very interesting, there's this line here in this book that says as follows, that if one of these people would have been asked if the stipler loved his wife, they wouldn't know what to answer. And if pushed, they would likely say probably not. There's a lot of truth to that. Because people think in their warped mind in some circles that because you're so high in your, quote-unquote, in your learning or in your ruchnius, that this concept of loving your wife is, it's a little chalik of something over there, but it's not, you know, it's not a real thing. It's such a fundamental error. It's such a fundamental error. All true G'dayli Yisrael, emistika G'dayli Yisrael, love their wives extremely deeply. And the more they were in ruchnius, and the more they were in their Torah and mitzvahs, the more they loved their wives in a real way, in a very human way. So this is another misconception that people may have in their minds. Another is just not understanding what marriage is all about. People think that marriage is an opportunity to do chesed or to develop good midos. Some believe that it's a child-making partnership to make a permanent commitment through their children, sort of like a business-like agreement to bring children into the world. Misunderstanding the essence of marriage will hold back a proper marriage relationship from blossoming. Now, there are aspects of these, what I just said, that are part of marriage, but that's not why you get married. So clarifying this, what marriage is and what intimacy is about, is what he's going to start focusing on very shortly. Another problem is the misunderstanding of Tznius and Kedusha. Most people understand that the topic of Tznius is a woman's dress code, and Kedusha means separating from physicality. And this destroys Tznius and Kedusha. Destroys it. Yes, it's a chelik of it. It's relevant. It is relevant. But that's not what Tznius is. That's not what Kedusha is. And we're going to go through explaining what Tznius and Kedusha is the right way. Another thing that is a real killer for our generation is this warped sense of what people call frumkeit. Frumkeit is a spiritual disease. It's a form of Avodah Zarah. He doesn't say that. He calls it spiritual disease that Balei Mussar spend great effort trying to heal. It's one of the worst Yetzirahs, this frumkeit mentality. Rav Wolbo, in the name of Rabbi Ruchem from Mir, defines this disease as a power to push away true ruchnius. What is frumkeit? You know, in Rabbi Ruchem's Svarim, one of them, Das Taira, have a friend that used the word frumak. And in the Sefer, he uses that word frumak. It's robotic actions devoid of meaning and emotions, of which you think that there's something to it, and it's empty. Someone who meticulously keeps the physical halachas without connection to Hashem, that requires the service of Hashem, requires every Jew to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his whole heart. And some of these symptoms of these frumak diseases are that Hashem hates anything that the physical body enjoys, that it's always better to fast than to eat. The truth is that the Torah is concerned with eating and fasting when done properly. The Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, Chelek Aleph, Perek Dalet, Ois Zion, says that when eating in this world is performed with the right kavana, it produces a shlemus as any other mitzvah does. On the other hand, a misuse of fasting, as well as a misuse of eating, can be a ravera. So where does this frumkeit come from? It's an interesting question. But the idea is that a person has a drive to eat. Another one sleeps, another one so on. These are like horses. Everyone has a desire, and a person needs to take the reins and direct each of these powers to their proper place. So there is a power that pushes a person what he perceives as good. What he perceives as good. He needs that drive in order to keep all the mitzvahs. But when this power is directed properly, people will perform mitzvahs and they won't have struggles with it. So one needs to understand a drive to be good needs to be controlled also, not just the drive to be bad. You know, if you want to always sleep all the time, you know, hey, this is not good. I'm going to be lazy. I'm not going to accomplish anything. So it makes sense. But even your desire to achieve or to grow, if it's not controlled properly, it could get you into a very confused state. When you believe physical pleasures are at odds with Hashem's desire, you'll oversimplify and twist the intentions of the Torah. You'll believe you're a tzaddik because you stayed away from some physical pleasures. And meanwhile, you are behaving in a way that's very, very far from what Hashem desires. I'm going to repeat that. There's many that believe that they're tzaddikim when they're pirish, when they separate from their wives or put on themselves certain things to hold back from these things. A lot of times, it produces very strange behaviors that are very far from what Hashem wants. This is the warning of Rav Moshe, which we said in the previous shiur, that explained that a person must first define what good and bad is, not based on your own brain or retzinus, but based on the true, proper study of Torah, not your imagination. So he goes through here an overview of things that he's going to cover in this book. He says it's 10 lessons that are actually one long lesson. I'm going to briefly go through it right now. Lesson number one is he'll explain why we get married, why it's an integral part of Shalom, which is one of Hashem's main goals and the main goal of creation. It's not just a state where a couple lives together without fighting. It reveals a couple's inner unity, a beautiful harmony that blossoms in their home. And Chazal explained that the couple's intimacy is an essential pillar, is one of the essential pillars of Shalom Bayis. You know, you have, what does the world stand on? Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. What does marriage stand on? There are several pillars which we're going to discuss. One of them is indeed physical intimacy. Lesson number two, that marital intimacy is the greatest expression of a couple's unity, and that depends on the couple's ability to develop the love relationship, which should flourish in their daily life. Ayna means her time. Simchas Ayna means the happiness of her time. The essence of this happiness is achieved through the couple's unity. And there are, in this lesson, he'll describe four differences about how men and women relate to intimacy. That knowledge will help with this. Lesson number three is also explaining the differences between men and women's approach to intimacy. A man's desire for physical union is expressed outwardly on the surface. A woman's desire is deeply hidden. That's why he has to enter the process of pious, awakening his wife's desire for intimacy. And the stipler explains, he's very sharp, but basically that a man who has relations with his wife before she is physically and emotionally prepared for it, because he didn't work towards getting her in that state with a kindness and a love and understanding and patience, that will disturb any physical and spiritual success he may have. And it's something that he'll have to ask Mechila for if he hurt his wife that way. Lesson number four is that the Kedusha of a couple's intimate union allows them to have a unity to bring the Shekhinah down. The influence of Christianity or overboard Chumrah type people make the entire concept of Kedusha twisted, but we need to recognize that the holiness of their union is achieved by three levels of their being, connecting physically, connecting emotionally, connecting spiritually. And to quote Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, there is no person in the Jewish nation that is too small to connect the holiness of a marital union, and there's no person too big to skip it. No one can say I'm too big. I'm such a big person. I could skip marital intimacy to reach my shleimus or to reach to be an Eved Hashem. There's no person in Am Yisrael that's too small to connect with the Kedusha of marital union. Don't say that because you believe you're a simple person, a lower person, you can't connect in a beautiful way to the Kedusha of what Hashem wants and serve Him with a tmimus through marital intimacy. There's no person that is too low. There's no person that should feel themselves not worthy of it. There's no one too small that can't connect to this Kedusha the right way. And there's no person that's too big that they could say, I'm skipping this. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu himself. That's it. And the idea also, the fifth lesson is how to incorporate this Kedusha into one's life and the essential role of what physical pleasure is in achieving this unity, some mistakes regarding the proper use of physical pleasure, the negativity of pursuing pleasure for its own sake. Lesson six talks about understanding the proper foundation of the marriage relationship as a prelude to marital intimacy, what covet is, what respect is, which is often misunderstood. Lesson seven talks about love. The word love is often misidentified as undependable emotional excitement, and he'll explain the difference between true love and counterfeit love. Lesson number eight will discuss the proper foundation of love and respect to allow them to function in every given level, to understand the many differences between two individuals, the natural differences between men and women overall. Lesson number nine talks about the yesod that marital intimacy is not a black and white topic. It's a reshus, which means you need to have constant good judgment to determine the quantity and quality of a couple's intimacy. And we'll discuss it from the perspective of the wife and the perspective of the husband. And lesson 10 is that one of the greatest challenges to find successful intimacy is the ability to use the Yetzirah, quote-unquote, in the proper way. You know, it says, Hinetoy Ma'id, what the world is very good means the Yetzirah. You need to know how to channel that and how to control it in a healthy way and how a couple could do this in a healthy way. That if they have that Yetzirah, even if it seems negative, how they could channel it and bring it into a positive healing force. So this is overall the concepts that he's going to discuss. And we need to really be humble about it, to understand a deeper look of Shalom he's going to explain. Lesson one is going to go through the deep concept of Shalom that will help in a practical way how to handle in the right way marital intimacy, a deeper look of having children. From lesson two, he's going to talk about marital intimacy is not dependent on having children. It's a separate mitzvah, but it's still a direct expression of a couple's unification. He's going to talk about Selam Aleichem. He's going to talk about the spirit of intimacy, the ruach behind it. It has to be through love and simcha, not through fear. The main nekuda of marital intimacy is simcha, is joy, and a deeper look into kavod, what kavod is, and pnimiyas halev, to understand the wisdom of the heart. So by learning this, it's going to enhance a person's life, not just in married life, but as a totality, as a whole human being. As we're going to explain, Be'ez Hashem, as we go through this wonderful book. Bracha v'atzlacha.